Well, Zachariah was probably a bit older than Grandpa was in that video when his child arrived. And it wasn't his grandchild, it was actually his baby. And remember, he'd longed for this baby for so, so long. Like one of those presents you've been asking mum or dad for the past 6 months. And he'd given up all hope, actually, because he was so old. But always there remained that aching longing that he had. I long for a child. And now, wonderfully, miraculously, God has given him a child. His wife has had a baby, and he holds him in his arms. Can you begin to imagine what that must have been like? I suspect there were tears of joy from Zachariah too. In fact, it's no wonder, actually, he burst into song, was it? It's so exciting when you've longed for something for so long. But here's the real surprise of Christmas. Having waited and dreamed and ached and longed for a child for so, so long, Zachariah doesn't sing about his son. He doesn't sing about his son. He sings about another baby who is soon to be born. Jesus, who will come as a saviour. He calls him a horn of salvation. That's a slightly weird term to use of a baby. I don't know if you're a new mum recently. You thought, how would you feel if my child was described as a horn of salvation? What it means is, it's poetic language for a saviour, a rescuer. Because that's what the angel had said when he came to Zachariah. He said, your son John is going to tell people about the saviour who's come, Jesus. God himself will be coming as a baby. And that's why he was so excited about another baby when you think he'd be all about his own child. Now, there are lots of things, aren't there, for us to get excited about at Christmas. There's lots of things to be excited about. It's lovely to give and to receive presents. Who's looking forward to getting a present this Christmas? Not everybody. Wow. Well, I am. It's lovely to give and receive presents. That's great. They bring great joy. And it's wonderful to get together with family and friends, isn't it? And we make new wonderful memories. And it's great to eat good food and to decorate your house. There's great fun to be had. And Zachariah was thrilled at the birth of his son. But he was even more thrilled at another baby that was to come. He didn't lose sight of the big news that a saviour was coming. So this Christmas, as you enjoy everything that goes on, don't lose the wonder of God himself coming to earth to be a saviour. Because if Jesus isn't the centre of your Christmas, you're missing out on the best news there is going. Now, I don't know about you, but we tend to associate Christmas songs with happiness. It's the kind of, so most of these Spotify playlists will be played at parties and that kind of thing. So we had a family get together yesterday and we had a Christmas playlist going on and it was all about being happy. We put our Christmas albums on when we start to decorate the tree and that kind of thing, don't we? When we're feeling happy. Now, but at least two, if not three, I think, of those 2016 Spotify favourites, up at number two and three of the most popular tunes, actually aren't very happy at all. Have another listen to this one. It's not actually a very happy song, is it? Last Christmas I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away. The song's all about falling in love with someone and entrusting yourself to them, and then just throwing it back in your face and going off with someone else. It's not Jingle Bells, is it? It's not a very happy song. I wonder what it is then that makes it so popular at Christmas time. Well, I guess for many of us, I would think it probably chimes in with some reality, doesn't it? That maybe we've entrusted ourselves to someone and we've been let down and that's really hurt us. And we understand what George Michael's talking about. And there's the way in which the reality of life is kind of sneaked away behind all the tinsel and the trappings of Christmas. Maybe your best friend at school has said something about you or to you which isn't true or isn't kind and you've been really sad as a result. Or maybe someone close to you has made promises to you and they've not kept them, they've let you down. And when you get hurt, it becomes difficult to trust people, doesn't it? Remember Zachariah's story again. Zachariah's story has not been an easy one. For years and years and years, he's longed to have a child and it's never come. And so he and his wife have experienced the pain of not having a child. And they've experienced the wonders, the looks from other people around, thinking, what have they done wrong to not get a child? What's that? And they've asked the questions of God, why? What are you doing? But the Bible's quite clear. They've done nothing wrong. It's not their fault at all. But they kept on trusting God through all of it. Through all the difficulties, they kept on trusting God. Why did they do that? It's because they knew God's track record. They knew that God keeps his promises. Now, God hadn't promised that he'd make everything wonderful all the time for them. He hadn't even promised them a child for many, many years. That came as a complete surprise when the angel announced it. He never promised he'd make all of life easy. And all of us know that to some extent, don't we? But again, he'd made bigger and better promises than making all of life okay, all of life wonderful, so that it feels like Christmas every day. He promised a Savior who would bring forgiveness. Listen again to the heart of Zechariah's story. He says this, "You've come to show mercy to our ancestors, to remember your holy covenant, the oath, the promise you swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear." He promised a Savior, and now one had come. God was keeping the promises that he'd made centuries earlier. A bit like if your mum and dad had promised you a present way back in June, and finally it turns up on December the 25th. Well, God had promised, and he was keeping his promises. He was proving himself trustworthy, even in the darkest of situations. I guess many of us have been burnt from trusting others. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. Perhaps it's happened more than once. And so we start to get cynical about the idea of the second line. Next year, this year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Is there really anyone trustworthy? Anyone special? At the end of the day, you've got to look after number one, because no one else will. Except Zechariah, elderly Zechariah, who's experienced the pain and the questions of childlessness, he kept on trusting, didn't he? Through all of that, because he knew that God is a promise-keeping God who one day would bring forgiveness. Sometimes Christmas can feel like we're trying to step out of the world for a time. We step into Christmas and we step out of the world with all the decorations and the holidays and the food and the presents and so on. And we treat it as an opportunity to hide from the realities of life. But actually Christmas is quite the reverse. Christmas is God stepping into the world to be with us. One of the names given to Jesus was Emmanuel, which means God with us. So this Christmas, who are you going to trust amidst the realities of life? Don't treat Christmas as an opportunity to escape. Make it what it really is. It's a chance to see the one who is ultimately trustworthy. Now, I wonder what you're looking forward to about Christmas, about what presents maybe you're looking forward. There are lots of wonderful things that we can get at Christmas time. Lots of things that we look forward to, and it's good for us to enjoy those things. But I guess the question is, what is it that we really need? What do we really need? Now, there are lots of things we might think that we need. I need a new phone. Although, actually, my old one still works, to be honest. I need a new jumper. Although, to be fair, my cupboard is pretty full of them. I need a new toy. Although, I can't actually fit all the toys I've got in my room, and they're overflowing into the living room and driving my parents mad. Now, those are all things that we might think we might want, but need is a different matter. So think for a moment about our singer today, Zechariah again. Now, he and his wife Elizabeth, like I said, had longed for a child for a long time. They felt his absence every day. There's a measure of sadness every day. Not all of life was miserable, but it was always there at the backs of their minds. What will make your life good, Zechariah? What do you need? Someone might have asked him. And he might well have said, well, I need a child to take away my sadness, mightn't he? Which means that finally when one comes, miraculously given by God, you would think his song would all be about God supplying his need. And it is all about God supplying his needs. But remember, the song's not about his son. The song's about the Savior, Jesus. Listen to what he sings at the end of the song. Jesus has come to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Did you hear the language that he uses there? He talks about salvation. He talks about the tender mercy of God. He talks about the forgiveness of sins. That's what Zechariah is really excited about. Even though his longed-for baby is there, what he's really excited about is the coming of Jesus. Now, we might not hide our Christmas presents like we hide our Easter eggs. But the truth is, you can't talk about Jesus, about Christmas, without looking forward to Easter. Because that baby who was born and laid in a manger will grow up and will go to the cross. The first song we were singing reminded us of that. To win your forgiveness and mine. To take the consequences for all the things that we've done wrong. See, the truth is that I need forgiveness. I need forgiveness, and no amount of tinsel or food or telly is going to change that reality. I'm not what I should have been this past year. There's no hiding it, though actually I might like to. I like to hide away those things, but I need to be forgiven more than anything else. And I think we can be quite good at running away from that. I know I can be. And insisting that our good deeds box is nice and full, so let's not look at the box that's labelled when I let people down. But the truth is, it's still there. And it's still real. And some of us recognise that it's there, but we think, well, if I throw myself into Christmas and making Christmas wonderful for everyone around me, I'll fill that good box up more, and I can then ignore the box that I don't want to live at, the things I've done wrong. But you see, Christmas isn't an escape from reality. It's not a way of distracting ourselves from what this world is like, or actually what I'm really like. It's good news. It's about light shining in darkness. That's why we lit the candle at the beginning. So that actually we can look reality square in the eye, the reality of what I've done that's in that box, and say sorry to God and know his forgiveness. And that's the best news ever that we celebrate at Christmas time. Christmas is about the tender mercy of God. And that's a reason to celebrate, isn't it? Christmas is all about Jesus, the rescuer who has come. Christmas shows that God is trustworthy, that he keeps his promises, and his promise is to forgive all those who come to him and ask for it. This Christmas, that offer is open to all of us, young and old. You just have to say, yes, please, God, and thank you for forgiving me.